The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
Now, losing your hair is hugely traumatic, and watching a loved one going through it can be worse than living with it yourself. Shannon has alopecia and lost her hair when she was 12 years old. And Shannon and her mom Yvonne are both in studio with me now. Good to see you, lads.
Thank you.
Now, Yvonne, you work as a TV producer, so we have worked with each other on and off down through the years.
Indeed.
Shannon, I've never met you before, so lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
So bring me back. You're 12 years old. You're going through all the difficulties at being, you know, with what being 12 does to you anyway, with your body changing and all of that, changing schools. You had all that going on. Your hair starts to fall out. So was it a slow process for you, or did it happen quite quickly, or what happened?
It happened so quickly. We were away for New Year's, and I was just in the shower, about 2 days into the holiday, and I felt like this big matted clump in the back of my hair, and I just kind of pulled at it, and I thought, okay, well, that should have hurt me, but it didn't. So afterwards, then I was just brushing my hair, and loads was coming out, like all over the floor, everywhere. So I kind of kept it quiet for like a day or two, and just wasn't saying anything to anyone. And then I remember showing my mom. And I was like, look, mom, I kind of pulled out a big lump of my hair on this side. Will you take a look at it? And she was like, oh my God, Shannon, like there's loads, like a big, massive big bald patch. So I kind of thought nothing of it. And then she fished around on the other side of my head, and there was another big bald patch that I didn't know about. So then literally within days, hair was coming out everywhere. If I sat on the couch, it was behind me. Like if I was brushing it, it was all over the tiles, all over the bed, like all over the pillow covers. It was just like everywhere.
And how did you feel? Yeah. Were you scared? Were you upset? Like what's going through your head?
Kind of shocked, because at that time we had no idea what was causing this. Like it was bizarre to me. I'd never even heard of alopecia. I was just like dying to get home to Ireland. I was wearing hats out to the restaurants, and I was like, oh my God, please, I just don't even.
Where were you? Were you in Spain?
My parents have a villa in Girona, so we were in Girona at the time.
Okay.
And I was mortified because I had family members as well, and like my brother's friend on the holiday too. So like I was just kind of like mortified for everyone seeing me going through this. So I had to kind of just act strong, you know.
And so was it pretty much all gone by the time you got home from holidays?
Yeah, within 10 days, literally strands left of my hair. So we went into Snips in town. I'm not even sure if that's still around anymore. And the man there and then said, look, like, you know, I think all your hair is going to fall out. So he just said, do you want to just take the plunge and shave it all off? So I was like, yeah, okay, go for it. And I had friends with me and my mum with me, and everyone in the room was bawling apart from me. I was just staring at myself, just gobsmacked, really. I didn't really have any idea of how to deal with it in front of people. So I just kind of kept it emotionless, really.
And how did you cope, Yvonne? Because for your daughter, that's very tough.
Oh, broke my heart, I have to say. Yeah, even now I'm emotional just listening to it. Completely tore me asunder. I remember thinking at the time, Jesus, if I could only lose my hair, and she got it back. Stupidly, irrational thinking, you know, just trying to think, how could this happen? She's only a child. But praying to God, like, this is only something, a fluke, and it's going to all come back. And maybe it's our hormones, or, you know, you're kind of thinking of every kind of scenario in your head that it will come back.
I remember, did you go to a doctor?
Yeah.
Straight away, or
yes, okay. We brought her to a specialist out in near enough to here in Donnybrook. Went to our own doctor, and he was like, it's definitely alopecia, you need to go and see a dermatologist. Gave us the name of this girl, and when we went out to her, straight away she actually said, she dug a biopsy, but she said straight away she'll never get her hair back. Like, and I think when we came home in the car that day, I cried. I don't know how we drove, because my husband John was driving. I think he was crying, I was crying, she was crying, but I think she was more annoyed as well, weren't you? Kind of feeling, why me at this stage? It was, you know, she did a biopsy and she said, look, you know, after results came, they don't know what it is, but some people have an immune system that's triggered by an environmental, something in the environment. So that was kind of what it was. We didn't know what it was. It was something wrong with her immune system was weakened, and something in the environment could have triggered it, because they did tests and they ruled out kind of her hormones, even though she was only 12, 13 at the time. She hadn't got deficiencies in vitamins or anything. But it's funny, because since then it has changed. But back then it didn't. You know, at that stage it didn't. It was just some fluke thing.
And you're told that it's not stress, it's not this, it was environmental. And at that point, when you're told that, it could be anything.
Yeah. anything at all. And like, it's funny because my immune system became so compromised since. So like, my white blood cells attack my hair follicles, and instead of like really attacking common colds, like little things, because I've lost my nose hairs, I am really prone to like allergies and like itchy eyes, things like that, you know. So generally, like, I can be quite run down. And since then, like, I'm lacking in zinc, I'm lacking in like iron, B12, loads of different things, you know.
You're 26 now.
Yeah.
So living with it all your life is one thing, but to happen at such, I'm just trying to imagine at 12 or 13, how uncomfortable and conscious I was with myself, with everybody looking at you. You don't want any, you know, you don't know where to put yourself at that age. How, and school can be a tough place when you don't look like everybody else.
Yeah.
So how did you cope with that? Did you have a good circle of friends around you?
I had such an incredible support network, like, and I think that's what got me through a lot. At home, I did like go home and just cry my eyes out and think, right, okay, everyone is understanding and everyone is being so nice about this, but at the same time, no one actually understands how I'm feeling, you know, like, because they haven't gone through it themselves. Not that I ever wished it on anybody, but I had just thought, like, if only people knew how deeply affected I am, because like you said, like, you know, you're 12, going on 13, and like your appearance is everything, you know, like I was getting into makeup and like really kind of getting into my appearance more so. And then obviously I was stripped of everything, like my eyebrows, my lashes, my hair. But like that, my friends were amazing. Like I remember when I first lost it and I was waiting on a wig, and we were going on a bus into town, and every one of the girls like got onto the bus bit by bit as we were passing all the stops, and they all got on with hats. And I was like, oh my God, like just bawled, you know, like they were so good to me.
And did you ever go to school without your wig on or without your hat on? Or
no, not to school. It took me years before I could actually accept myself like bald. And still, like, I may take photos like on social media and post it, but like it's different when you're behind a camera. And like, I feel if I was to go out with no hair on, people would be looking at me or think that, you know, it's something else. Or I just am afraid of the stairs. There was one time I was in Vietnam and my whole hair matted. I had like no control over it. I was on an island.
As in your wig? Your wig matted?
My wig matted. So there was nowhere I could go to get a new one or anything. So I had to go bald for the rest of the holiday. But luckily I was with my friends, and that was like the first time, but everyone was staring. That's how I felt. And anyways, I was very conscious, you know.
And I suppose, because looking at you now, you've got a beautiful head of like blonde hair.
Yeah.
You've eyebrows, you've lashes.
Yeah.
But you have to, that's a job of work for you every day.
Yeah, that's it. And I work in the beauty industry as well. I'm a therapist. So like generally every day it would crop up in different conversations. So someone would say, oh, your brows are lovely while I'm doing them. And like, how do you do your own? And I'm like, oh, well, they're tattooed, they're not actually mine. And, you know, like it kind of, it's brought up constantly, you know, that way. So you kind of have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And be strong about it, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise you just break down.
And you really are. And the way you're talking about it so openly now is it's to have that strength when something like that happens to you that early. And I'm going to come back. If we're going to take a little break now, if you don't mind, and we'll come back in just a minute.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 for your texts, ray@rte.ie for your emails. I have Shannon and Yvonne Kinsella in studio with me, and I've been talking to Shannon, who lost her hair at 12. She's alopecia. And then Yvonne, coming to you as Shannon's mom, I want to talk to you, because then completely and utterly out of the blue, you noticed your own hair coming out very recently.
Yeah, just 10 weeks ago. So what happened was...
So this happened to Shannon 13 years ago, and this happened to you a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, just 10 weeks ago. Never had any issues with my hair, like never had a problem. 10 weeks ago, my son was getting married in Spain at the end of September. The week before, I had long, like, kind of hair to my shoulder, just down past the shoulder, and I noticed a bald patch, just a small little thing, like the size of a 50 cent piece. And I thought it's a bit weird, but just thought nothing of it. How she looking? I'm probably at the age where there's hormone problems or something, and maybe that's what it is. And then about 2 or 3 days before we went, saw another patch. And my husband just went, look, geez, leave another one, love, but don't want to frighten you, but, you know. I was going, yeah, that's a bit weird. But again, so much happening with the wedding. I was like, oh, no, we're going to have a great time. Just head over. Second day, so we went, arrived in Spain on the Wednesday. They were getting married on the Friday. On the Thursday morning, I got into the shower. And when I say a handful, like literally probably two handfuls of hair just came out in the shower. And I knew immediately, I was like, this is alopecia. This is not just hormones. This is something much bigger. By the end of the night, I had filled a quarter of a little bag, like we had little plastic bags over it. Quarter of the bag was full of hair. And all I was thinking of, my son's getting married tomorrow. What am I going to do? Like, well, and I was praying the hair would last for a day. Literally, that was my thing. Just get me through tomorrow for photos. Because all I kept thinking was the album. You know, sorry, it's still very rough.
Ah, I know, you're doing great.
Just thinking, how will I look in that wedding album? But a great hairdresser that day. And she put a fake bun in my hair. I didn't tell my son. I just kind of got through it.
And were you at the wedding as well, Shannon?
Yeah, I was a bridesmaid at the wedding. But no, I knew because I had been talking to my mum, obviously, like a few days coming up to the wedding, and I could see it myself, and I was just trying to convince her that, like, no, it looks fine. Like, you know, you're grand. It's only thin. Like, you know, you can't see it. And like, I knew that it was going to be very tough for her. In particular, I think it might be tough for her because she had to be so strong for me when I went through it.
For all those years, yeah.
So I knew she'd kind of try act strong through it, you know, but I had to be there for her. Like, in the end, I was actually the one to even shave her head when her hair started falling out big time then while we were away. I found it so ironic even that it happened in Spain.
In Spain.
So many years later in the shower. Like, just...
And Yvonne, you're like, it's only 10 weeks. You must still be in shock.
Still very
and
raw.
From the little that I know you, you're somebody who gets on with things. You do it.
Yeah.
You're constantly around people in your line of work. You're never not working. And so I suppose even processing it now, it's still so raw and it's still so new.
And Shannon probably realised, I haven't really cried. Sure, I haven't.
No.
I'm very strong because I keep thinking of her. Because in my head, my daughter lost her 13 years ago. I've gone through 13 years of this. And here I am, 50 years of age. I should just get on with it, like, you know. She's had to go through it, you know, for so long. And she's been so brave. So, no, for the most part, I know I kind of broke there a little. I think it's just because she's sitting beside me. But, no, I am getting on with it. I have to look at it and go, yes, I'm sick. Again, like Shannon, I've got every sort of chest infection. My eyes are dry. They're running all the time. I've no nose hair, so I'm getting everything there. My body feels like I've been run over by a truck for the last few weeks. It's like I've no energy in me. And it's all because the immune system, there's nothing basically there because it's all kind of concentrating on fighting the hair. And my, like Shannon, my white blood cells have gone through the roof seemingly as well. So, it's more, I'm still in shock, I suppose. I remember coming home. Sorry, Catherine, you go ahead.
No, so you work away. When you came home, what I'm listening to now and what people are probably listening to is surely this is hereditary. Like, it's too much of a coincidence to happen. To two people in the one family. But how does it make sense that it's happened so far apart? And what diagnosis did you get from the doctor?
So when I came home, I actually over there got my hair cut into a tight short bob just to get through the holiday and wore a hat. Came home, went to the doctor, they did a load of blood tests. I was thinking, oh, this is Grant's hormones. It's the menopause. I'm obviously starting that. And it all came back. No, nothing. No, you're not deficient to any vitamin. You're not deficient. No, your thyroid hasn't a problem. You're not, no hormone imbalance, nothing. So they were like, right, it's not hereditary. It's not in the family. You have a different type of alopecia to Shannon. So we don't know what's going on. So the next thing I have to do now is I have to get a biopsy. And that will tell possibly, you know, what may have triggered it. So that's really, so the body basically...
What are the main triggers for alopecia?
See, this is the problem. It's still such a big question. There's such a big question mark over it. We don't know. That's probably, I don't know anyway. And I remember 13 years ago, kind of trying to look into everything. There was a group from Galway had set up. They had their first meeting in Dublin in the Red Cow. I remember going over, 12 people arrived and the girl...
She had
lost her hair, yeah. She wouldn't come with me because I remember as a kid, she was like, ma'am, for God's sake, they'd be all freaks. Like,
It's a freak meeting because she's only a kid. So I was like, right, well, I'll go myself. Just to see, you know, is where's good for wigs. Tried to help her to get eyelashes and stuff. And 12 of us sat around in a circle. The girl handed out a piece of paper. We all put our names and addresses down and 8 of us were from Dublin 15. And I was like, whoa, okay, this is like, what's going on, you know? So like you can't kind of get through that whole, oh, look, it could be this and it could be water and it could be mass, it could be anything that's triggering it. But it did kind of raise a bit of a red flag, you know?
Yeah, when there's 8 people in the one area and this is a nationwide group of people who are concerned about alopecia. Had there been other children in the school, Shannon?
Yeah, loads. And funnily enough, there was another person in my own class. There was a number of people and even a teacher in my school that all had it. I have a neighbour who has it. I work actually in a local salon and a lot of my clients come in and when the conversation does creep up, they're like, oh my God, such and such has it up the road. And I know such and such has this. And like, I'm constantly getting like numbers or referrals, like, you know, you should go see him. My friend went to see this healer or hypnotherapist. And like that, yeah, I'm actually shocked by the amount of people in the area. But funnily enough, Catherine, as well, I had moved out. I had moved to Vietnam. And when I was in Vietnam, all my hair came back. Now, not my eyebrows, my eyelashes, but I could have went out and had like a boy's haircut. It was all fully back.
Really?
Yeah, and that was only in, I was away for 16 months just. When I moved home then, it all started falling out within a few weeks.
So what do you think it is? I mean, I know nobody knows, and as you said, there needs to be more research done in the area, but...
Yeah.
Have you any inkling?
I have no idea. Like the environmental thing creeps up, hormones, stress, hereditary, these are all things that people relate it to. And obviously like cortisol has a direct effect on like your hair and that's a stress hormone. And the endocrine system is always influenced by stress and hormones. So like, I'm not too sure if it was hormonal in the sense that I got it when I was obviously going through puberty. My mum now has it going through like menopause perhaps. But I think something in the environment might trigger it, you know?
And I get you.
Obviously, if your immune system is compromised, you're going to be more susceptible to getting something like this. Mm. So that is something I would love to look into or like find out more about if it was something in the area.
You wrote a Facebook post, Yvonne, that got a huge amount of traction from people. Why did you decide to post on Facebook about what was happening to you and what had happened to Shannon?
Well, what happened was Shannon said to me, look, it was only about a couple of weeks into it, and she said, ma'am, I think, I'm going to have to just say this, you know, that she put up a post saying that a member of the family should have gone through this all my life. Is that what you were saying? And a member of someone really close to me is now after losing their hair. She took off her wig. That was the first time he ever did that. Mm, she never went public on Facebook about this before. And when she did it, I went, oh my God, like, I can't let my child do this. I have to do it. It's when I have to say it's me, you know? So I just went up and I said, lads, look, I'm in a selfish way, I'm probably doing this because first of all, it gets it out there. So kind of a lot of the questions will be answered before anyone sees me again. And just trying to know if you see me, yes, I'll be wearing a wig. And then all of a sudden I decided, right, I'm going to put up a little post on a local buy and sell page just to see if anyone else in the area has the same thing. And within an hour, 8 people messaged me and said, we're in the same area. We're in Carpenterstown. Everyone of them had lost their hair. And I was going, really, this is like in an hour, 1 hour, 8 people. And I said, look, lads, I'm going to have to take it down because I won't be able to start up a meeting with work, you know, till the new year. And I don't want people kind of, you know, thinking that there'll be a support group set up immediately. But if anyone wanted to message me, they could, you know. Mm. But I did find, I know when I came back, it was the whole week thing with Shannon. I know it takes a while to get them from China. I went into a panic and went, OK, what am I going to do here? I've no hair and I have to work. And I have to see people and sit face to face like you would catch them with people. So I said, I'm going to go down to Moore Street thinking, you're just thinking madly, I'll pay 100 quid and get something that I could throw on my head that'll cover me. Thank God a pal of mine rang and she said, look, I'm after sending your photograph. She took my photograph off Facebook, sent it to a place called Aidan Fitzgerald's in Black Rock. I'd never been to before. And she says, he's waiting out there. He has 3 wigs. And thank God, even the courage going to a wig shop broke me. I went in, nearly 2 hours with the man. The team were fantastic. And he had 3 wigs set out, very like mine. And he said, look, play around with them, cut them, whatever. But I remember thinking, oh yeah, I'm grand. This is all great. I'm doing fine. I walked upstairs and he said, have a look at it in the light. And I, the first time in my life, took a panic attack. I had a pain in my chest, pain down my arm. Just seeing myself in the mirror wearing a wig, I just thought, oh, mother of God, like, I can't believe I'm doing what happened 13 years ago. I'm in the same position that my child was in, you know?
And I know there's a huge amount of text coming in here for you. I'll just try and get through a few of them. I lost my hair in 2006, all of it. Not a follicle do I have on my body. I don't wear a wig or a headscarf. I've embraced my baldness with every fibre of my being. I'm a partner, mother, foster carer, daughter, friend. Alopecia is not who I am. It will never define me. I'm otherwise healthy and strong at the end of the day. It is only hair. Life is for living. And besides, I've saved a fortune in hairdressing costs, says Fiona Taylor in Sligo. It's really... Another Jean said it's really traumatic to lose your hair. For people who lose hair during cancer treatment, it's the worst part of their journey. Keep strong. And that comes in from Jean. That must be another thing as well, because I'm very conscious that there are people listening who, people with alopecia, but a lot of people with cancer going through treatments as well. And it must be at least something now that the wigs and the hair available is much easier available. It's of better quality. People know how to style it. And I mean, like Fiona in Sligo chooses not to wear a wig, and that's cool too. But for people who want to wear it, it must be great now, Shannon. Even from your young age, that it's the wigs that are available now are much better.
Oh, definitely. And like, it's kind of almost like a fashion thing, like in with celebrities and stuff like that now as well. It's more common, hair extensions and all are more common. In particular, like that lady said, I always, when I have a down day, I always think of people that have cancer and things like that as well. And I think, God, how lucky I am to not have like a terminal illness. But like that, it is so good to have hair on your doorstep, like at Aidan Fitzgerald's, for example. Like, I was getting hair from China for a very long time because they were cheaper on the internet. And by the time they came, they were real human hairs. They were perfect. I was gluing them on, but they came with, like, you know, bad side effects. And I was gluing them. So sometimes if I took it off and maybe used surgical spirits to clean my head, if I was too rough, the surgical spirits burned like through my scalp. And I used to get sores. And then I'd be re-gluing over the sores. And it was just so, like, I can't describe the pain. Like, you know, you'd be clenching your fists. And then, like, the hairs at the beginning are so fab, you feel great. And then as the month goes on, my confidence just deteriorated. The hair would go dry, sometimes it matted. Like, if I got into the sea, it would mat, like that time in Vietnam, you know.
So to have all of the hair available now.
To have all these hairs now, it's perfect, you know. It makes you feel so much more confident and comfortable in it.
Well, listen, I really appreciate, we've run out of time. I really appreciate you guys coming in and having the chat today and being so honest. I know, Yvonne, it was very hard, but look at it. Mind yourself, mind your mum, you mind her. I know you're a mum of two as well, Shannon. And for anybody who wants to find out more about alopecia, is there somewhere to go?
Yes, there's the alopecia, what's it called? Alopecia Ireland, I think it's called. So that's a good Facebook page.
Okay,
good
great. Support. All right, ladies, thank you so much.
Thanks, Catherine.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.